Let's move on to the next amendment. That's an amendment for fiscal responsibility regarding the bylaws amendment. Can you read that one, Grace?
Yeah. One moment.
That's 15 minutes, Jeff.
Okay. One second. Yes. This is amendment to codify financial responsibility, and it just states that, and this is in regard to a bylaws amendment that started by a membership petition, and it adds a section, and the section that's added is, the expenses of all aspects of any amendment initiated shall be borne by the Pacifica Foundation if originating from six or more directors of the Pacifica National Board, by the radio stations if the initiation originates from two or more local station boards, or by the petitioners if originated by a petition of 5% or more of the members. The expenses shall include all printing, mailing, and reasonable administrative costs. So that's an addition to the bylaws that causes membership petition originated bylaws amendment procedure to be paid for by the entity or the people who originate that petition or that bylaws amendment.
Okay, we'll take a stack on this. Who wants to be on a stack? Anybody want to
be on? Dwayne Mark with a question.
Dwayne, what is your question?
Are there any objections to this amendment?
Jan Goodman, yes. And I would like to be on the stack.
Okay, so Jan, you want to be on the stack. Okay.
Robin would like on the stack, too.
Robin would be on the stack. Anybody?
Grace, I'd like to be on the stack a little later.
Grace, okay. Anybody else? I'll put myself on the stack. I'll go last. Anybody else? Okay.
Paulina. Yes, Paulina, please.
Okay. You'll be after Grace. Okay. Jan, go ahead. Jan, you're muted.
Okay. So essentially the same arguments as discussed in the previous amendment are valid here. One is the notice requirements were not met. So that just right, you know, without even speaking to the validity, or the propriety of the amendment itself, the notice requirements were not met at least at two stations and probably more. Second of all, again, this is like saying that this does not impinge on the members' rights to vote.
Which amendments are you referring to when you say the notice requirements were not met?
In the last amendment we discussed.
Only the last amendment, not any of the previous amendments.
Correct. I'm just speaking about the last amendment.
Okay. So some of the amendments and notice requirements were...
Are you allowed to interrupt?
And others they were not met. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I don't care about the others.
I don't care about the others. Okay.
Is the chair allowed to interrupt like this?
Go ahead.
He's a royal chair. He can do it. This is like a poll tax. Saying that this does not interfere with members' rights to vote. It's to vote on, you know, on a bylaws change in order to have a bylaws change to vote on. Members have to spend, I don't know, $100,000 or whatever amount it is that would take, it would now take to put this before the voters. So this, very much impinges on members' rights. Well, my time is not, used up by our chair's interruption, I wouldn't think.
I paused while the chair was speaking. You're now 30 seconds over time.
Thank you very much. I've made my point.
Okay. Okay. Robin?
Yes, this is far more onerous than the previous raising of the 5% to the 5%. This is totally antithetical to Pacifica's mission, respect for minority rights, poor people. Imagine if in California you put something on the ballot, all the people that signed the petition would have to pay for the election. This is, you know, and how would you get the money from the petitioners for this? Everyone that signs would have to be billed to pay for the election. Who's going to, you know, this is completely unworkable and unfair. Again, I was against the previous bylaws amendment petition that was proposed, but this is a total overreaction. You're taking away the members of Pacifica's rights vastly, and I would hope that the members revolt over this. This is the PNB faction trying to control the whole process, and it's wrong. It's totally wrong.
Mr. Chair, Dwayne Lark to the stack, please.
Okay, I'll put you on the stack. Grace, you're next.
Can I come a little later? Lower me down the stack, please.
Lower me down the stack. Paulina?
8 minutes, Chair.
Okay. Thank you. So I would not agree with the idea that whoever signs the petition, must be responsible then for paying for the costs of said legal, you know, or said process, right? Because of course we have to pay for a referendum. Now, what would make more sense, and maybe I'm just misinterpreting, maybe somebody can enlighten me. Would it be the proponents of the petition on behalf of the membership, or is it just putting your signature on it would immediately make you liable for whatever cost of, as a member of the foundation? I'm not sure, actually. On this one, I am actually in the dark. I need to understand what the proposal is. So I would love to hear from Grace and others or whoever is arguing in favor of it. Thank you.
Okay. Wayne, you're up.
Okay. Chancellor, question. No, it is the ones who bring it forth that would be the front responsible, not those who signed for it. Their rights are intact. But there are laws around the country that on the face of it, you'd say unjust. But why would you allow a person who lost an election to be able to go and get 10 people and 100,000 people voted in the election to say, I want a recall? There are things that you need to put in place that won't cost this foundation $100,000. And I don't believe it has nothing to do with poor people, because poor people didn't bring this previous action 6 months ago. It was people who had resources to send out mail outs and all that, of which the board didn't have the money to do so. And it's a corporation. So I think that argument just don't fly. With respect to putting rules in place that would at least stop willy-nilly efforts to force this foundation to spend money that it don't have to put on elections that in this case proved that over 63% of the membership didn't just say no, said hell no. So at least maybe some of the alternatives might be that you would have a higher threshold. And this these are creating high thresholds. And as it relates to factions, listen, the gentleman who spoke that, he was in a super faction last year, and I was in a bare minority faction. And I didn't, you know, I've lived in those conditions all my life. And so this ain't nothing to do with no faction. This has everything to do with protecting the financial situation of this foundation from folk who do have money and forcing us to have referendums that the membership say hell no about.
15 seconds over.
Thank you, sir. Maybe it should have been 30 like the previous speaker.
Grace, your turn.
Yes, I should learn not to eat when I'm ready to talk. There is a slight possibility that this amendment will keep poor people, make it difficult for them to bring forward a bylaws petition that's generated from the membership. However, to have a bylaws amendment, it would seem that people have friends on the local board and on the national board who could bring it forward with the normal procedure. A bylaws petition amendment process is probably going to happen from outside forces or by forces that understand that their perspective is not generally held by the board, the local boards, or the national board. And that's why they need to go the route of a bylaws petition. I think there's much more danger, even though there's some possibility that poorer people won't be able to put forward a bylaws amendment. I think the danger of outside forces like, let's say, the Mormons or the John Birch Society coming in and buying a whole bunch of memberships and then putting forward a bylaws membership petition with disingenuous, ambiguous language could move to take over the whole foundation. And we need to do all we can to make sure that any bylaws amendment is clear, concise, and has the approval of the vast majority of our membership. So I think that this
15
is
seconds over.
Even though this isn't perfect, it prevents the takeover of this foundation by a minority of people.
Chair, did you see my hand raised, Lawrence?
I didn't. Okay, you want to go, Lawrence? Go ahead.
Yes, please. Thank you. You know, I've heard this John Birch and Mormon rhetoric. Now, when we were trying to preserve the waivers for members who are marginalized, disenfranchised, and the such, now I hear the same type of argument in regards to a member having to pay to file a petition. I think I was okay with raising the threshold to 5%, but I'm having difficulty affirming a vote in favor of this amendment to make members pay. I can reconcile that with the bylaw and the waiver argument that some on this board had, you know, wanted to get rid of. I voted no in the governance committee, and the governance committee did by 5-4 vote with one abstention urged a no vote on this amendment. So I'm a follow my conscience with my vote at the governance committee and vote no.
Okay, so I'm going to put myself on the stack. The question here is that this is an amendment that we wouldn't have thought about a year ago. But why does it seem to be necessary now? Because a certain tiny group that had an agenda that I believe was very alien to the Pacifica mission forced a referendum on us and forced us to pay $100,000 and change for that referendum. The problem with referendums is they cost money. Somebody has to pay for them. Now, I think it would have been another story if we had been dealing with conscientious people who really brought an amendment process forward that we had to address. But this was not the case here. We were dealing with people who had no regard for the damage they were causing the foundation by forcing us in court to rush through this amendment process. So we didn't conceive that there would be such a situation a year ago. Now we know that is very possible, and we think it might happen again. So we have to protect ourselves, and the way to do it is who's going to pay for this $100,000 plus referendum if it comes up again. Well, I think it's only fair that the petitioners make the payment. If they have sufficient support, they should have no problem coming up with $100,000. If they have several thousand people supporting them, you can get two or three
seconds over.
Yeah, we have time for this amendment.
Okay, so
Nancy, did you see my hand up?
I did not. I'm sorry, Nancy, but we need a motion to extend time if we're going to take any more speakers. Somebody want to make such a motion?
I like
Dan Finland, so moved.
5 minutes.
5 minutes. Do we have
Dan, second.
Okay. So, are there any objections?
Yes.
We have an objection. So we have
to- not to extending. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Alex, Alex, I'm also on the stack. My hand is also raised. Thank you.
Okay. I was looking.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm looking on the stack too, please.
Nancy.
Mr. Chair, a point of a technical point.
What's
you have your participants list open.
What?
You have your participants list open. That's where you can see people's hands.
Yes. You're correct.
Okay.
Yeah. You can also see them in the videos, but I just wasn't looking. Okay. Nancy, go ahead.
Okay, I think yeah, it would be good if we could think of some way for Pacifica not to have to pay for like these a petition such as the one that we just went through. But I think that, you know, even if we put this in place, the people with money, this is no bar to them. It's not a bar at all. And all it does is make it difficult for, you know, people with less means to contemplate bringing a petition. But maybe we can think of some other way to monetarily, you know, get such people to pay for it. But I don't think this is the way.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome to the back.
Chris?
Thank you. I was actually, Nancy pretty much made my point for me. This won't, and this gets back to what Robin said earlier. People with means are not going to have any issue with this particular revision. They're simply going to step right over it because it's an easy hurdle for them to clear, and they know how to organize other people with money. It's going to be far more difficult for those that don't have the means to step up and petition the organization for change. I understand that we're trying to protect ourselves against an ill-meaning minority that is out to destroy the organization or damage it. I appreciate that. But like Nancy, I just think that there has to be a better way of doing it than creating an obstacle for people of no means to approach the organization for change. Thank you.
Okay, Aki, you're next.
No, I think that Chris and they made the point, so I'm just not going to repeat it.
Okay, Ron, you're next on the stack.
I was going to say the same thing. My point for the made. I'm voting no.
Anybody else want to be on the stack?
Ralph here for the stack.
Who is that?
Hello. Ralph for the stack.
Yeah, Ralph, go ahead.
It is obvious here, speaking plainly, that the motion is meant to defeat negative elements within the organization, which recently we saw. The negative elements are still here, and until something better comes along, we must have this in place now. Raise the bar a little bit. Maybe we'll have to raise the bar again if these elements continue. And it is obvious that the elements are still with us. And so the vote for me is yes, speaking plainly, to defeat those negative elements within the organization. Thank you.
Thank you, Ralph. Anybody else?
Yes, Polina to start.
Polina, okay, go ahead.
I wholeheartedly agree with Mr. Pointer's arguments. That's exactly right. This is a battle, let's be plain. And of course, those who wish to change the nature, the chaotic and democratic nature of this foundation will be back, and they might as well pay for their efforts. Thank you.
James for the stack.
Was that James?
James, yes.
Go ahead, James.
First I have to time myself. Excuse me just a moment. I just wanted to add my voice to those who are suggesting that the foundation is at stake. The only worker and member controlled media network, I believe, in the world, but at least in this country, is at stake. And if we have to do this, we should get on with it. And if it has to, you know, we could, it's not written in stone. We could, if the danger subsides and in the future we find it safe, we can go in the other direction and return to a lower threshold. We just need this now while we know that there's an element out there. And I say it's not all the people who were in favor of the bylaws changes, but it's some among them whose real goal is to dismantle the network. We have to protect against that. So I'm going to add my vote to the to those who support this. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Yeah, Chair, can I have another bite at the apple? This is Lawrence.
Go ahead, as long as we have time left. Go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. I just want to emphasize that this was the same argument that was made on the waivers. Many here, some people, some members here on the board made the same argument about the waivers, that for some reason we were going to organize the people in the community, to say in the underrepresented community, the poor people, the prisoners, people who are disenfranchised, who continue to be disenfranchised in this society with the systemic racism that exists. So that's why I cannot go along with this. And I urge those people who are considering, yes, that we consider, because there has to be a different way of doing this. Thank you, Chair.
Anybody else?
This is Ron, and like another bite also.
Go ahead, Ron.
I just want to say this. I think everybody understands the necessity for doing something, okay, about this issue. Whether this is it or not, I think we need more time to debate. I think that something can be done. You know, I mean, both sides are right on this. You know, we have to protect ourselves, you know, from, from the folks, you know, that just don't that mean us harm. But at the same time, I am concerned about, you know, disenfranchising members who don't have the benefit of such organization and stuff. You know, we have to find a way to accommodate that, you know. So I would like to see us table this if we can for further discussion. Come up with some ideas on what we can do. Everybody agrees something needs to be done, you know. I just said it's difficult for me to accept this as it is in this, you know, as it is right now. That's all. Thank you.
This is Lydia to the stack.
Lydia, go ahead.
Okay. So I wholeheartedly embrace the higher threshold for the petition portion. And it seems just from the discussion that it, you know, this it may or may not prevail, and it may or may not prevail at the LSVs. But I would like to just suggest that whichever way this goes, in other words, if this passes, and as you know, the first bylaws amendment that was passed tonight affords multiple ballots to change bylaws amendments. So if this were to pass all the way across the board, I'm hoping that we have another bylaws amendment very shortly. In fact, we're going to need one for to change the articles of incorporation based on the first one for that for the tax problem at KPFA. But anyway, so we'll have another ballot, which means if this passes tonight in all three LSVs, but there's a overwhelming sentiment that last portion of having to pick up the tab isn't any good. You can always make a new bylaws amendment to take that out. If it doesn't pass, you can also then propose another bylaws amendment that excludes that and simply changes the threshold. So having been, as I said in my earlier comment, I regret ever having been on that lab lawsuit because it produced these bylaws and I became the bylaws amendment person. So I know what it is to propose something that even if it's correct and viable, it may not carry, but you always get another bite of the apple, especially if the first one prevails.
Okay, let's go to a vote. I think we've sort of discussed this quite a bit. I hope everybody has some clarity as to what they think about it.
I changed my opinion. I just want to let everybody know.
Okay. Whatever. Grace, could you take the role? Grace? She on the call? I don't see her.
No, I don't see her anymore.
Grace might want to change to a phone next time instead of the internet.
Yeah. Let's give her a minute and see if she'll be. She's probably trying to claw her way back to the conference.
Can you see her?
No, not yet. I'll give her a call.
Is anybody going to call her, or shall I do it?
I'm calling her.
You're doing it? Okay.
Yeah. Well, you can just call the call, go join by phone. You can't get in by phone. I can't patch you in because I'm not in by phone. I'm in my computer's audio. James, are you? James can patch you in. He's in by phone. James, could you patch Grace in?
Okay. Will she call me, or shall I call her?
Call her and just patch her in. I can't do it because I'm not on the conference through a phone.
Very good. Will do.
Okay. She lost her internet is what happened. She says she can't get on through the phone. I don't know why.
Okay, we're in. Can you hear us?
Okay. Can you all hear me?
Yeah. I was going to ask you to
I apologize. I lost internet access, so that bounced me off the call.
Yay, you made it back.
I made it back.
I want you to call
okay,
the...
Okay, so I take it we're ready for a vote on this amendment?
We are ready for a vote.
Okay. Grace Aaron votes yes. Robin Collier?
No.
Okay, Chris Corey?
No.
Okay, Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
No.
All right, Lyndon Foley?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Pardon me. Let me take that back. I was just knocked off. No, I think I'm voting no against this amendment.
Okay. Jan Goodman? Jan Goodman, or we'll come back to Jan. Heather Gray?
Oh, you're muted.
Heather Gray?
No.
Okay.
Jan Goodman, no. Jan Goodman, no.
All right. Sabrina Jacobs?
No.
Okay. Wally James?
No.
Okay. Dwayne Lark? Dwayne Lark?
Yes.
Okay. Ron Pinchback?
No.
Okay. Ralph Pointer?
Yes.
Ralph Pointer?
He said yes.
Yes.
Okay. Sandra Rowland? Okay, we'll come back to Sandra. Lawrence Reyes?
No.
Okay, Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
Okay, Eileen Rosin?
No.
All right, James Sagerton?
Yes.
Okay. Nancy Sorden?
Yes.
Okay. Aki Tanaka?
No.
All right. Paulina Vasiliev?
Yes.
Okay. Tom Voorhees?
Reluctant, yes.
Okay. So getting back to the only one we're missing here is Sandra Rawlin. I guess she dropped off the call. Okay. So I'm going to count up. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 yeses. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 no's. And that's it. 8 yeses, 12 no's. Chair, do you wish to vote?
I'll vote yes.
Okay, so the final vote is 9 yes, 12 no's. This amendment fails.
Okay, so the upshot is that the first three amendments have passed. That means they now go to the local station boards. Three of the local station boards have to approve them by a majority of the members of those boards. That differs from the majority vote. It's a majority of the members. And one amendment was defeated, so it is not going forward to the LSP. So that's the status of the bylaws amendment as it stands now. And we have another item on the agenda.
Yeah, we have other items on the agenda, Mr. Chair. I think the sensitive item is the WBAI motion.
Okay.
And also the IED report would come before that, and I think Lydia would like to give us some news.
Okay, let's do the IED report. We still have some time. Go ahead, Lydia.
Just in a nutshell, it's a one-item report here. We got the PPP loan approved. It is with Citizens State Bank, and it was really fast, actually, from the time that we applied this time. Now, having said that, what was not fast was clearing the debris left over from the mishap of the other application at WBAI that stood in our way, but we had help actually from the broker in New York who had initially processed that application. He put us in direct touch with the SBA agent to clarify that and get rid of that duplication. It has not been so easy with the EIDL loan, but we're working on that. That has been escalated, but the PPP loan is now at Citizens Bank. The money is actually there and being transferred in increments as we need it to our Bank of America bank. The general managers have been notified and the business managers that the payroll and health benefits will be covered for the next couple of months. And they immediately started, I'm very happy to report, immediately started paying central services that they owed that had been backlogged, and the CPB portion that was due, and there were things they had borrowed to make payroll at other stations and so on and so forth, and they immediately started making good on that. So I'm very happy. I didn't even really have to ask or push. As soon as they got the relief from on having to meet payroll this week and health benefits next week. So that's working out well. And it gives us time to actually, all this does is buy us some time to get our house in order to the degree that we can, because a couple of months of payroll and medical benefits is huge under the circumstances. That's why PPP is there, because we've taken a significant hit with COVID-19. in terms of fundraising. And but the other thing I did want to say is that I sent out, and I think everybody received the email from Lou Hill's son to the membership. and so that brought in about 10,000, and then we've had another 1,000 or two. We've had altogether about 12,000, and part of that has been the COVID-19 programming. Probably a little bit of that was also thanks to Nancy Sorden and Michael Novick and a few others who participated in a letter to the LSBs asking them to send appeals to for Pacifica. And so the money has been trickling in. Most of the larger amounts, again, as I have reported before, come through Act Blue, and I'm getting the stats on how much of it, and it's a significant amount that come in through your mobile phones if you have Act Blue on your phone. And then, and about 30% are signed on to be recurring. So that was good. And then we still had our recurring people on PayPal and Visa as well. So that was good. So it was a good start that way. And I plan to do, you know, that rumored all day, fundraiser. I think now that, we at least got the PPP, I'll continue every day calling on the idol and contacting people to expedite that, because it's encountering the same issue of the duplicate application. But being relieved of that, we're going to, I'll be able to focus on that all day fundraiser, which I hope will happen by the end of July. And Mark Torres from Archives is sending me the template for that and so on and so forth. So things are moving along that way. In terms of our coverage for the convention, for the Democratic convention, that of course has switched up overnight. We were submitting our credentials, in the process of submitting our credentials with a lot of questions whether anybody wanted to fly to Milwaukee. So it was, already we were kind of hoping for what the Democratic Party has kind of decided to do, which is this remote access. And, but they will be having state conventions, so I have to see if we get a whole bunch more people credentialed, if you have to do it through the DNC, so that we can cover it at each station depending on which state localities they intend to broadcast that from. We always benefit from having the in-person or, you know, specific interviews that are always very much in keeping with our mission and our concerns and so forth. So stay tuned for that, because I know very little right now. Okay, so I think that's all. If anybody has any questions.
Robin for the stack.
Lydia.
Robin for the stack.
I just wanted to thank Lydia.
Dan Goodman for the stack.
I just want to thank Lydia on behalf of the board for the excellent work Lydia has done in making sure we got the PPP loan through. Thank you, Lydia.
And I want to thank also Tamara from NETA. We're both working in on this as well, so.
Okay. So, I think I heard Robin. Who else?
Jab.
And anybody else?
Ron.
Tom.
Lyndon.
Tom. Anybody else? Okay.
Alex, Lawrence.
Lawrence, okay. Got you.
Did you get Lyndon?
I got you, Lyndon, yeah. Okay, Robin.
Did you hear me?
Yeah, Ron? I got you, Ron.
Okay.
Can I go ahead?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I hear you're paying the payroll of the stations. I didn't hear anything about money being paid back to the affiliate network.
Those are some of the pieces that immediately people started paying back without even being asked. KPFK sent theirs, BAI's about to send theirs, and so forth. And it was that everybody has their lists at the stations, but I still thought I would have to ask, and I didn't have to ask. KPFK did that first, for
example.
That's
not the question I asked, Lydia. Are the Pacifica affiliate network, is their money being paid back?
That's what I said. Not by PPP, it's being paid back by the stations. KPFK sent what they borrowed back to the affiliates, and BAI is doing the same thing right now. As soon as they got the relief from the payroll, they offered to immediately make that their priority. It's the first thing they said.
So does
Ursula know that? That's all. From what I know, those are the only two that borrowed money from the affiliates.
There's a whole 2 years of money that was borrowed from the affiliates.
Oh, that accounting? I'm not aware of that accounting having been verified by Tamara, but in terms of the stations borrowing it, since I have been here, that's what got paid back, and we're working to get the past amounts, which I was unaware of until that was recently raised. And whatever is due affiliates, the Pacifica National Office unit will be sent to Ursula.
Okay.
To the affiliate account.
Good.
As we had said before, actually.
Okay. Jan is next.
Yes. Oh, let's see. Am I? If you said it, I missed it. How much money were we given or loaned?
$1.2 million.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And is that the one that as long as we use a certain percentage of it on payroll that we don't have to pay it back?
That's correct. And it's $1 million forgivable, so it's not as much of a loan as it is of a grant. So the million is forgiven. And that was also part of the arrangement. I must have signed, you know, a few dozen documents with this new bank. Because they really want to keep an eye on that to make sure that we meet the criteria, of its use. So we're being very meticulous about that. So we initially are depositing $500,000, that will appear in our, Bank of America account tomorrow.
And can we use any of it to pay back the big loan?
That we're looking at EIDL, because EIDL is a real loan that we have 30 years to pay, less criteria, but with PPP, it was originally a much smaller amount that we could use outside of payroll, but now it's 60-40, so 60 for payroll and 40 with greater discretion. And there you go. So in terms of the FJC loan, we're looking to EIDL. And so we'll have more specifics as soon as we actually get our portal access, is what I'm working on.
Just to remind everybody that we're supposed to just call it the big loan and not the name of the lender. Since this is a public line. Thank you. Thank you very much, Lydia.
Sure. And just also to clarify, because some people say, well, what if they don't allow mortgage payments like we had proposed or whatever? I mean, as soon as you free up other money in the foundation, we would comply with whatever, the loan requires, and whatever we expend that way frees up enough money. People don't understand how much money we bring in. We bring in a fortune in fundraising, actually, even though it's still not enough, obviously. But and so we would just reallocate, and that's what we do like every day when we don't have it. Now that we have it, we have to be very careful about how we apply it. And so going forward, I'm not suggesting paying like everything off right now, because we have this. We have to look at the whole picture, and I'll be reporting back also. I expect the board members to be, very interested in how that money is being used. And so there you go. I will certainly do that.
Okay. I think Ron was next on the phone.
Okay. One quick question, Lydia, and great job, by the way. Is any of this money exposed to litigation should we be sued, you know, or whatever. You know, we have that history. So is that money protected against that, or is that money vulnerable should we be sued?
Oh, I didn't think in terms of that. I mean, specifically, they can't touch anything that's in the loans because we would never tap into that for litigation purposes specifically. That, you know, it's, again, it's just how you use everything. We have so much to choose from in terms of utilizing these funds, that we can adequately use them for every single legitimate, completely covered, safe disbursement imaginable, believe me. And that frees up other money to deal with those issues as, those other issues as they come up.
Okay.
James for the stack.
All right. Tom, you're next.
Did you see my hand? Alex?
Both of my questions have been answered. Thank you, Lydia.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I see Nancy. Okay. All right. So Lyndon, you're next.
Are you to the stack?
Thank you. Yeah, I agree that cash or money is fungible, so that's a good thing. And I'd also like to say congratulations to you, Lydia, on getting the PPP loan. That's a great, deal of a real savior for us. I have a couple of questions that are not related to that loan. One is I'd like to get a copy of the KPFT asbestos report. I understand.
Yes, you asked me and I found it and I emailed it to myself to send you.
Okay.
I'll
well, thank
that.
You very much. Thank you very much. And then, also I want to see if you've communicated, to the stations what the PMB motion was last 2 weeks ago concerning their expenses and revenue imbalance.
I communicated it, but I didn't send the minutes. I had asked Grace for the minutes. She has kindly facilitated that. This does bring in a good point, though. I can send an email to the GMs and the PDs and the business managers on things that come up on the PMB. It's really important, and I would really urge all of the directors to include that and also send it to their general managers and so forth, because we all miss emails even if they get them from me, and they might, you know, just glance and think it doesn't pertain to them or whatever. There's nothing like repetition for emphasis. So bring it up at your LSB meetings, because your LSBs are committees of the PNB, and they should be notified of anything that pertains to their station and their management. And that way, if they get three emails from different sources about the same thing, it will sink in finally, because I have learned that, you know, then I have to dig something out and see, I sent it to you a month ago and that
Thank you so much. I do agree that repetition is a good thing. I had a boss that told me that quite often. This resolution that we passed has like a 7-day one-week deadline. And so I'd like to know, have you received anything?
Oh, yes,
anything?
I did. Yeah. I keep getting this. Is everybody getting this message? You're muted and unmuted, or is that just me hearing it?
I
muted you for a second because an echo is coming through when you're not speaking, when somebody else is speaking. And somehow it's coming through your thing.
Yeah, it's coming through my phone. Yes, I notified everybody, and I did get a plan back from KPFK, but since this meeting was already a special meeting for the bylaws, I didn't send it, and it also needs to be re-reviewed and tweaked some, I think. But because there are pieces of information that are missing, and some of it is from different quarters. Because we have four of our stations that have union contracts. We have to look at seniority. We have to look at the payroll records. I found a few inconsistencies with those. And so in terms of the full reporting on KPFK, for example, I need to do a little bit more work on it. But the GM did produce his document a couple of days ago.
Okay, I think that Lawrence was next on the back.
Don't forget, James.
I got you, James.
There's some sort
Thank
of
you.
I don't know who it is. If he's not talking, perhaps they could consider putting the source on mute.
Yes, he has phone.
Hello? Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, Lydia, thank you, Lydia.
Hang on 1 second, Lawrence. Lydia, do you know that you can use, I think it's *6? To mute yourself?
I don't need it. No, I use my phone mute. I do not use the Zoom mute.
Okay. Give it a try then.
You want me to mute? I thought I was answering questions.
Just while you're not talking.
Okay. Lydia, thank you. I know how hard you work. You worked to get this accomplished to the consternation of many. I really appreciate your effort and your steadfastness and not giving up on the process. And that's the person I know, you know, so, I really don't have any questions. I just wanted to really, commend you and give you a shout out. And I think the whole board, should give you a shout out for, getting this done and also to Netta and Anita. Assisting you along the way. Thank you.
Thank you. And then I will need the board's assistance as we go through the next phase of distribution. Certainly when IDLE comes in, we need to have some talks, and figure everything out so that it has board support.
Okay, Jane.
This is Heather. Would you put me on the list as well?
Sure, Heather. Okay, James, next.
Thank you, Alex. Lydia, I want to join everyone who's saying thank you very much for all the work you did on this. And I just wanted to clarify, if possible, and if you're not clear on it exactly, you know, I'll just accept your representation that it's in hand. But am I understanding correctly that the money has actually gone to the stations? And they are determining what to do with it. And I know you mentioned that the bank was going to help us avoid, you know, going over the 60-40 boundary to jeopardize our exemption from having to repay. So I'm just wondering if the bank is monitoring, have each of the stations created an account at the bank so that the bank can monitor how the stations are spending the money and avoid it being commingled with other funds, or how is that all working, if you have an easy, not too deep in the weeds explanation?
Simple. None of it is going to the stations. It goes to our operating account or payroll account, actually. The amounts that we need first in our operating account, then it gets transferred the amounts for payroll for each station. And because that's how it works right now. Each station doesn't send their payroll money to the company that handles our payroll. It all comes, they send it to the Pacifica National office or to NETA in this case. Well, not directly to them, to the bank, to Bank of America, to our operating account. Then it goes into the payroll account, and then it's from that account that the payroll gets covered and issued. And so that's what's happening, is it doesn't have to go through the route of going through the stations. We're just covering
right.
it. So
I understand how the payroll works. What I was
right,
really trying
right.
to get at was how is
right.
you mentioned
so I'm
some of the
that.
Other things that were being paid.
I'm getting to that. So what happens
for
each unit, for example, I get a breakdown from, we get breakdowns from each station that says, okay, this is our payroll, which, you know, it's pretty normal. It's the same amount. These are our health benefits. So we know each month what those are, but they itemize them. This is how much we have in our local bills. This is what we put in, this is what you owe CPB, this is what you blah, blah. We just check them off as each thing. This is how much you owe in central services, 5 months of central services. Now that you have 45,000 taken care of your payroll, you can afford to send us 2 months of central services. So that's how we're doing each station. So other than the ones that immediately volunteered because they knew this was at the top, you pay reimburse affiliates and then pay your CPB amount and so on and so forth, and next is your central services catching up on that. They immediately are starting to do that. No station likes to be in debt, so that's the good thing. And I have stressed over and over again that the purpose of this loan was to relieve them of the payroll for a couple of months for them to catch up on all of these things, which we keep reminding them about. And so we are keeping tabs on everything that they owe in terms of central services and other items that they might have borrowed from other stations.
Time is up on this item.
And then they remit that money to Bank of America.
Okay, time is up for this item.
Nancy, I move that we extend for 10 minutes.
Can you make it 5 minutes?
I'm sorry.
Can you make it 5 minutes because we've been on the call since?
A request for information.
Six hours or whatever.
I have an important motion I'd like to get to after this. Make it 5 minutes, Nancy.
Okay.
Okay. Do we have a second?
James, second.
Okay. Any objection? Okay. Go ahead, Nancy. You're next on the stack.
Okay. Thank you. I have three questions, Lydia. One is, did the CPP bill get paid? Number two.
I couldn't hear you. What did you say?
Did the CPP bill that we owed, the $137,506 that we owe, get paid? And did the PMs give you access to view the bank view and NETA?
I can't hear. You're breaking up. I'm sorry. I heard the first question. Second question.
Did the GMs give you access to view the bank accounts in real time? And the third question is, do you have any thoughts on when we get the EIDL loan, I'm assuming we will get it, on how, priorities, how that will be spent?